We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to talk to you tonight about something that we all need, every one of us, and something that God has promised to give not only to all of us, but to each of us. And that one thing is comfort. We all need comfort. The title of our little study tonight is The God of All Comfort. And in these verses, verses 4 through 7, you're going to find the word comfort is used 10 times. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Scripture, as is my habit. You'll find the word comfort is used a number of times, and then you'll find the word consolation that is used, but literally they're the same word. Translated differently, but from the same base word. And I want you perhaps to take your Bible as I read along, and each time you hear the word comfort or consolation, if you don't mind marking it, just go ahead and mark it. Beginning in verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, and that's the same word, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now again, I want to say that God is the God, according to this passage of Scripture, the God of all comfort in verse 3. Comfort is something we all need, and thank God. Yes, I say thank God. It is something that God has promised and something that God has provided. None of us is strong enough to stand alone. We need the Lord to stand with us and to give us comfort. Now, the word comfort here is a very interesting word. It goes far beyond sentiment. It means more than a sentimental pat on the head, there. The Greek word comfort, very much like our English word comfort, literally means with strength. Come fort. And the word fort or forte has the idea of strength. And God is the God who gives us not mere sentiment, but He is the God who comes alongside of us to give us strength in time of need. The dear, blessed, precious Holy Spirit is called in John 14 the Comforter. And He's the one who comes not merely with sentiment, though He does have sentiment, not merely with sympathy, though He does have sympathy. He is the one who infuses us with strength. Now, I want to be brief tonight, but I want to say three things about the comfort that the God of all comfort gives. And the very first thing is the very source of that comfort is God Himself. He is called in verse 3 the God of all comfort. Now, as I look at that, that means literally that God has cornered the market on comfort. There is no real, lasting, genuine comfort apart from Almighty God. Now, even if we get comfort from other people, it is the comfort that those other people got from God, and they have become the middleman, and they're passing it on to you. For example, verse 4 says, it speaks of God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So if somebody else comes along and gives you comfort, all he or she is the middleman passing on the comfort that they themselves have received of the Lord. So I want to say that God is the God of all comfort. I would say, turn that around, Satan is the author of all discouragement. If you have discouragement tonight, it did not come from God. It came from Satan. If you need comfort, you'll not get it from any other source. You'll have to receive that comfort from God. I'm amazed at what people do and where people go when they hurt. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go when your sad heart aches till it nearly breaks to philosophy? The former pastor of this church, Dr. R.G. Lee, said, philosophy is a chunk of cloud bank buttered with the night wind. H.G. Wells was a philosopher, but he said, philosophy proved a washout to me. And then H.G. Wells said, unless there's a more abundant life before mankind, this scheme of space and time is a bad joke, an empty laugh, braying across the mysteries. Where are you going to go for comfort? Are you going to go for comfort to the things, the toys, the baubles, the materialistic things of this world? You can have a beautiful house and a broken heart. When Joyce and I got out of seminary, we lived from hand to mouth. We'd been married for 7 years of school. We wanted to start our family, and I wanted Joyce to stay at home. So I had to work to pay for the seminary tuition, the college tuition, work to keep food on the table. And this was before the days of credit cards, thank God. And we lived from hand to mouth, and it was God's hand to our mouth, but we made it. And God took care of us, and we got out of seminary and got out of school without being in debt. And when we got out, we bought a few sticks of furniture. We'd never had any new furniture. I think one time we did buy a new couch that was on sale, but that was the only piece of furniture that we had. And we bought an end table and a coffee table and a couple little settees for the living room. They were brand new. We had not had them in that little pastorum after we graduated from seminary but a few months, literally less than a few months, when our son, Philip, died. One of the sudden crib deaths. I can remember in that living room looking at that furniture that I was grateful for, but looking at that furniture and thinking to myself, that is absolute trash. Worth less than nothing. Absolutely nothing. It wouldn't amount to anything. You know, sometimes when your heart is broken, you see things more clearly. It's not that it was wrong for us to have that, not that we were unduly attached to it to begin with. But I'm just trying to say, folks, that the toys of this world, the possessions of this world, are not going to fit in your heart or give you comfort. Where are you going to go? Have you ever thought about the comfort that an atheist would have? Where does an atheist get comfort? Who doesn't believe even in God? Unbelief. I've always been kind of attracted to, or at least intrigued by, the lemmings. Are you familiar with who the lemmings are? What they are? These little animals that start and run across the continent or run across the land, and they run through the marsh. They swim over the rivers. They climb the mountains. They go across the plains until they reach the sea. I mean, they pell-mell, they head toward the sea. And when they get to the sea, they plunge in and drown. That's a lemming for you. But that's like so many folks in this world. I mean, they're in a mad rush, and when they get to the end of life, they die, and that's it. Where are you going to go for comfort? Are you going to go to one of the religions of this world? To Buddha? To Confucius? Where are you going to go? To Muhammad? Where are you going to go? Do you think that these can give you comfort? They died and they're dead. Jesus is alive and He lives within our heart. Where are you going to go for comfort when your heart aches? Are you going to sit around and have a pity party? If you do, the only one who'll come will be you. And you're not going to get any comfort from self-pity. Not from a bottle, not from a pill, not from a tranquilizer. I'm telling you, folks, God, Almighty God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. And you know what this scripture tells us? That He comforts us. I don't want to get too technical, but that's in the present tense. Doesn't mean He comforted. It means He comforts. It means He continually, day by day, moment by moment. That's the reason we sing that song, is peace like a river, because a river is constantly flowing. And that's the comfort of our Lord. Now, here's the second thing I want you to see. Not only the source of that comfort, God is the God of all comfort, but I want you to notice the subjects of that comfort. Who is it that God comforts? Well, look in verse 4. The Apostle Paul is talking about himself, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Look, if you will, in verse 8. Paul is talking about himself. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, how that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Do you think that Paul, because he was a Christian, had it easy? Do you think that Adrian is supposed to have it easy? Do you think that you're supposed to have without pain and toil and tribulation and problems? No. You see, God is going to comfort you, but the only way that God can comfort you is in tribulation. Look again in verse 4, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Now, folks, if you didn't have tribulation, you wouldn't need comfort. There would be no need for comfort. Christians have tribulation. There's no fine print in the contract. Jesus said clearly, plainly, forcefully, in this world, you will have tribulation. But with that tribulation, you'll have comfort. As you study the Bible, you'll find that the saints in the Bible were men who had tribulation. There's hardly a saint in the Bible that some tribulation is not mentioned about. And then as you get out of the Bible and get into history, you'll find out that great men of God have come to times when they were discouraged. The great Spurgeon that we quote so many times would have bouts of despondency. Martin Luther, who led in the Protestant Reformation, would have deep bouts of despondency and need to be comforted. The word tribulation here means to be pressed down. It means to be living under pressure. Many of us want the abundant life, but folks, you will not have the abundant life without abundant tribulation. Look, if you will, in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth. The two go together. When you have abounding tribulation, abounding suffering, at that same time you're going to know abounding comfort and abounding strength. You know, sometimes people say, I wish Jesus were more real to me. I'm going to give you a testimony. And I think those of you who are out there will say amen to the testimony. The times that Jesus has been the closest to me have not been those times when everything has been going the best. The times that Jesus Christ has been more real to me have been those times of suffering and heartache and pain. And as those sufferings abound, I have known His consolation. You know, Andre Crouch wrote that song. We don't sing it much anymore, but it's a great song through it all, through it all. And he has a line in there that has always been meaningful to me. He said, I thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for every storm He's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I would never know God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God can do. And so, friend, the subjects of tribulation, we have tribulation, but thank God we can know the comfort. Now, let me just go to the third and the final thing, and I'm moving very quickly here. The source of all comfort is God Himself. He is the God of all comfort. The subjects of comfort are those of us, along with the saints of the ages, who know tribulation. Now, the final thing is the stewardship of this suffering, or the stewardship of this comfort, rather. Look in verse 4 and see what Paul says here. It speaks of God, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now watch. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now this is a purpose clause. It literally means that He comforts us in order that we may be able to comfort others. We are comforted that we might comfort. We are blessed that we might be a blessing. I remember reading in the Bible about Samson, who had a lion to attack him. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and Samson with his bare hands fought and killed that lion. Later on, Samson came back by the carcass of the lion, and in the carcass of the lion, the bees had moved in and made a beehive in the carcass, the leather-covered carcass of that lion. Down in the ribcage somehow, there was a beehive in there. And the Bible declares how Samson reached in and got some honey, and he ate of it. And then as he was going along, he saw his mother and his father, and he gave to them honey out of the carcass of the lion. When I read that, I thought how much that's been like my own life. I know that the red lion of hell has roared against me, and he has against you. I know that Satan has attacked. I know that through the Spirit that God has given, I have been able to have victory that I could never have of myself. And I have found out, as Samson found out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And those things that have enriched and strengthened my life are the things that Satan tried to use against me, where God energized me and God gave me power. And I found honey in the carcass of the lion. And not only that, I've had honey not only to eat, but honey to share. I remember when our baby died, my mom and dad came at the Fort Pierce where Joyce and I were living. And I can see my mother's face, my precious mother. I can see her. She was coming up the walk. I can see it right now in my mind's eye. And Joyce and I had already found this verse that I'm speaking of. And I remember reaching out to my mother, who had come to comfort me, and she did. But being able to comfort her with the comfort that God Himself was already pouring into us. Because I had found in the carcass of the lion, there was honey. Honey to eat and honey to share. For the Bible says God comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look, if you will, in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth. And the word here means to overflow. A person who is finding victory in life is the person who's going to be a blessing. You know what trouble is for some people? For some people, trouble is a prison. For other people, trouble becomes a hospital. But if you will allow the Holy Spirit to walk with you and teach you, trouble will become a seminary, where you will learn things that you could not learn any other way, and your life will abound to other people. Perhaps the greatest need that we have in this day are people who have the gift of mercy to be able to comfort. We live in a world that's hurting. I mean literally hurting. And people who have hurt and have found help and found honey in the carcass of the lion, who have been comforted by God, these are the ones who are able to comfort others. Who do you go to when your heart is broken? You go to somebody that knows something about comfort and consolation because they have been there. Did you know it's not a compliment to you if others don't come to you with their problems? People don't go to an empty well to draw water. But they go to people who've been there. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that He was tempted in all points like as we are. And therefore He says we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you know why that means so much to us? Jesus has been there. Jesus knows. And therefore we can come to Jesus. Now, He didn't have to become a man to know how we feel. He already knows everything. But He became a man so that we could know that He knows. I mean, so that we could understand that He has been there. But He has been there, and He has known from the Father, the God of all comfort, the comfort that He gives to us. And so, folks, what I'm trying to say tonight, and I'm really finished, there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. We may have trouble. The poet said, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for today, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. That's the God of all comfort.
We trust that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like to know more about how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please go to our website at www.lwf.org and click on the Discover Jesus link for more information. If you would like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.